Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. Shall we look at our assignment?
Oh, yes, please.
The greatest part of our happiness depends on our dispositions, not our circumstances. We've all known people who are cheerful, regardless of circumstances, and those who are not cheerful, regardless of circumstances. If, in fact, our experience of life depends not on what happens to us, but on how we are with what happens to us, that leaves us quite a lot of room to maneuver, doesn't it? If our happiness is dependent upon how we are, this is good news, because we know we can alter how we are. How do we know that? We've done it. We've changed our mind about countless content over the course of our life. Most of us can easily call to mind not only changes, such as learning to enjoy new foods, but also alterations in orientation, such as appreciating challenges we might have previously chosen to avoid. Ego would like us to believe how we're immutable, but we know it isn't. We have karmic predispositions. We have learned beliefs, assumptions, habits, and behaviors, but none of that is terminal, unless we choose it to be. Today, choose how you tend to approach life and consider one small habit you would like to alter in order to revamp your disposition.
It's so practice, isn't it?
It is so practice.
Just bring attention to one little thing, change your relationship with it. Bring attention to one more little thing, alter your relationship with it. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hi, Ellie.
Uh-oh.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Is everything all right?
Yeah, well, it was, I don't know what happened, but as you came on, it was with quite a flurry of sound. So, but you're here now, and we have stabilized, so it's good.
Good. Sorry. I was not expecting to get on. Ah.
So much for expectations, right? So much for expectations, assumptions. All of those kinds of things. And it's good to see when it happens, isn't it? It's good to realize, I was thinking and that's not so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very helpful.
But
now you're here.
Yes. Looking at the prompt yesterday, it was a lot of fun to just play with different little habits and to see, like, there was so much conditioning around finding the right habit, and then I was, like, listing all the different ways that conditioning was telling me that habits had to be in order to qualify for this particular exercise.
Mm-hmm. All of which is in aid of never doing the exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I made that recording.
If we talk about how we need to do it long enough, we'll never have to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it came to just kind of like, okay, let's try this. And then it was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And do you have a sense of what made it fun?
Seeing the ridiculousness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, it just kept on piling things on. And then at a certain point, I was like, wait a second.
This is silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is so much application for that insight? Because when we say whatever you're present to is fun, that's what we're pointing at. All of the other things can be happening around it, but what's fun is the presence.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Which is what you experience.
Mhm.
Yeah. And then we get to see that any and everything that we're here for is just fine, because it is what is, and it's just fine. And all of that piling on that ego is doing to try to keep us from being here, we can see that it's just silly.
Yeah.
It's very good. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Ellie. It's the habit that we want ultimately change. Right, Jerry, the addiction to ego.
Yes, yes, that constant looking to the voices in conditioned mind to tell us what is so.
Mm-hmm.
Always, it just keeps coming down to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet. Whoops, wait a second. Hello?
There were two Janets.
I know. I was so determined to get on today. I was on my computer and my phone.
All right. Well, here you are.
I know. I've been trying to get on for so long. So so here I am. Yeah. And I have to tell you what an amazing workshop it has been being in the queue trying to get on. And I know other people have spoken about this, and I, every day when I wouldn't get on, I would be, this is so big for me, because I know that there is something here that is for me. And I was just thinking, they're still working on my road. The last time I called, they were working on my road.
Wow.
And I was talking about that, and I was thinking when I was calling in, oh, my God, they're still working on the road, and they're still in front of my house. They're always in front of my house. And then I just stopped and said, wow, that's the same thing I'm doing about the phone call. It's like, I never get chosen. I'm not getting chosen. You know, they're always working in front of my house. And there's one more part
to this. Opposite sides of the duality, right? Because they keep choosing you, which is not what you want. And the Project Joy doesn't choose you, which is what you do want. Ego's never happy, is it?
Isn't that, it's hysterical. But it was like, wow, that is so, I love seeing that. And the other piece of it that we talk about so much is projection, is that I'm always projecting that onto my husband, that he's always dissatisfied. Things aren't going his way. People are saying blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, you know, wait a minute. Yes.
And what I love most, Janet, is how delighted you are to see it. Because you have moved past awareness about what conditioning is doing is an opportunity for conditioning to come in and beat you up. You're not doing that anymore. So it's just really fun to see through what it's doing.
Yes, and I really had faith that by the time I got on the call, it would be the perfect time to be on the call. You know, it was not my time, ego's time. You know, ego is just like, what's going on? You know, but
they don't like you. They never have. They must know it's you, and they're rejecting you. Why don't you quit?
Yeah, well, it always comes down to why don't you quit. But what was interesting was having that other side where, you know, the mentor is just like, hey, no, wait, we're staying with this. This is fun. There's a lot to see here. You know, maybe you'll go all year and you'll never get on, but it's going to be, this is your workshop.
Uh-huh. And, again, you have moved to a place in practice where the mentor is way more influential on your disposition, your orientation, your perspective than is the conversation in conditioned mind.
Yes.
That is
what
something profoundly to be grateful
thing.
For.
Yes. I definitely am. I wanted to say one other thing. I was thinking about, you know, practice and how incredible this year has just been so incredible. And last week I had spilled water on my computer, and after much hemming and hawing, I went to get a new one. And I was leaving after getting it. It was at an Apple store in a mall, and I had stopped in a store, and by the time I got out to my car, I realized I didn't have my bag with the computer in it.
Oh, my God.
And that was like running at full speed with flip-flops on back to the store to look for, you know, the heart just palpitating. And I did find the computer in the bag right where I had left it. But the whole time it was like, oh, my God, this is like, what am I going to do? And as soon as I had the bag and I was walking out, it was like, do I want to stay in that place of, oh, my God, and keep this story just going for, like, a long time? Or do I want to just start yelling, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Why is that woman kissing the floor of the mall? Oh, she's really happy and grateful.
And I was just yelling, thank you. And I was going dancing around in circles, and I was just looking at people, and I said, I am so happy. But this was the funny thing. After that whole experience, conditioning came in and said, you know, you'll really have made it when you could have been, thank you for this experience, when you're walking in to look for your computer that you just bought that you probably lost. You didn't really, you only got it halfway, honey. You know, you didn't get the whole deal. It was like, what? You're going to take that away? Or you're going to try to take that away, I should say.
Yeah, because you're not taking it away. In fact, you really exposed yourself in a way that helps me and not you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, it was perfect. And in that moment of the thank you, it was so clear what this person was doing, disconnecting from conditioning. And so there was watching that, and there was also the gratitude for practice and the gratitude for my willingness to practice, and all of that just wrapped in. It's like, I want to remember this for when conditioning comes in, which it did, and says, you know, what do you mean? You know, you aren't really there yet. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So I just wanted to report that as a yes.
Oh, gosh, yes. And that place that you're describing of being so present that you watch the choice arise and watch a conscious choice to go with life. Instead of sliding off into conditioning. To be aware of that whole process is so big, so powerful.
Yeah, and Sherry, the thing is, and you already know this, of course, but it wasn't just that one time. It kept coming back, trying to get in there and say, wait a minute, we need to re-go over how awful this was. We need to make this. We need to keep going.
Well,
and I just had to keep coming back and coming back.
Right. Well, that's the, you know, when we're beating people over the head with get out of the conversation conditioned mind, get out of the story, what you were watching was how desperate it is to get you into a story so that you will be in conditioned mind giving all of your attention to karma, to ego. And so, and because you're present, you watch it come up and try again. And no, I'm saying yes to life, no to conditioning, right? And then here it comes again. Because what it knows, it doesn't really know it. It's not that. But the way it's constructed is that eventually we will get distracted. And it'll be able to get in there with that story, and it'll be able to grab the attention. So it just keeps, you know, it's like a mosquito on a screen. You know, it just keeps looking for that little opening in the screen that's going to open, you know. Now, does it know? I don't know. It must have some kind of sense that there's blood in there, right? Because it just stays on it. Because eventually there's going to be a little tiny opening in that screen and the window and then there's the reward. And ego is exactly like that.
Mm.
So we have to be that present to keep dropping it, stay here, notice out of the corner of the eye when it's circling, and just stay right here. That's the importance of learning to direct the attention and being consistent with it, because it's counting on us losing focus and it getting in.
So good.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this year has been. It's like every day we just keep, this is it, come back, here we are. And just the consistency of this and the touching in about it. And, you know, even though I haven't been on, of course, everyone has said everything I want to say, you know.
Right.
So it's all perfect. But anyway, so such deep gusto and great to talk
to
you.
and to you. All right.
Okay.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ashwini. Thank you.
Bye, Janet. Thank you. There's so much in that conversation, Cherry, but the two things that stood out for me most was that place of being chosen and not being chosen and having the workshop around that. And it points to the universal in practice. I mean, the whole thing, the whole conversation pointed to that universal aspect of practice, which is moving from the personal to the universal, that there is no intention that you're not chosen. And getting that assists us to know that you is the egocentric perspective that puts us in the middle of the universe, whereas life just happens.
Yes. And from that perspective, what I get to see, and this is what Janet saw and was articulating so beautifully, is that she is being chosen in every time that she's not unmuted on Project Joy. Because she gets to be in the workshop that is helping her to wake up. Right? We're always being chosen. And only ego would say, yeah, but I don't want to be chosen for that. I want to be chosen for this thing that I want to be chosen for.
Yeah. That the preference, that the ego orientation, it's that other place she was pointing at. If I am in dissatisfaction, I can project dissatisfaction everywhere. So from the ego perspective, choice looks a certain way. But the way life chooses is what we're not allowed to see.
Yes. Yeah. Which takes me back to that little article that I was so fond of. When I have a karmic orientation that I really believe, then that karmic orientation looks out at the opposite, right? So my husband is always in dissatisfaction. The implication being, of course, I'm not. And until, as she pointed out, we get projection, then that seems really true. So, Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
It is. And let me get another caller in. I've forgotten what the other thing was that dropped in. It's so fascinating, but somebody else will remember. So here we go.
That's right. And they'll tell us.
Oops. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Carol from Fort Townsend.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, I'm happy to be on this morning. About the assignment yesterday, ego wants me to choose something really big, like my relationship with a couch and comfort. And I thought, no, I'll choose to turn off my computer whenever I leave the house. So that seemed like a good thing to do. And then I found out that a high school classmate just died. And so it's like, oh, my God, you know, people die. I could die. And so what's important? And I thought what's important is it was getting dark. And every night it gets dark, and it's just like the loveliest thing on earth that we get to live. And every night it gets dark, you know, and things change. I was just kind of marveling at that and really in a good mood. And then I decided to go to the couch and read a book, and I decided to bake some dessert. And so I read my book.
These are a few of your favorite things.
These are my favorite things. And so I ate the entire dessert. And so what's changing is in the morning, I see what I did, and I see that I made that choice for dessert instead of the choice for continuing to notice. So... darkness.
Now, Carol, let me ask you this. Do you think that that's really true?
Which is really true?
That you made that choice?
Oh, I
do. Do you think that was a conscious choice, or do you think you had been snatched by the forces of evil?
Yes,
and then after you get snatched and do what the forces of evil guide you to do, it's presented as, well, that was your choice. You know, you could have stayed with the marvels of life, but you made a choice to make and eat an entire dessert after lying on the couch, or maybe perhaps while lying on the couch reading your book.
Yes, I realized that was Eagle's choice.
That's good.
But what has changed over time is that I'm able to be disidentified. Oh, right, I did eat all that dessert, which is not with my intention of how I want to lead my life, but I don't let ego beat me up about it. So
there's
a shift happening over time. And,
and
there's something about that splendor of life, and it's, like, so exciting that, like, ego couldn't take it. So it wanted to damp it down. So whatever I eat dessert, it damps things down. And
That's right.
So I guess what I'm seeing is that if I listen to ego, things are going to be damped down. And if I pay attention to life, it's almost too exciting to handle, you know, because it is so miraculous. But that's where I want to live.
Well, you really have to expand, don't you? The container has to expand to be able to take in all that wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are really important steps, aren't they? Realizing that it's an ego takeover, you got snatched, and that you got talked into doing something that damps down your ability to be present to life, which you love, and then you don't let any beatings happen afterwards. So moving closer and closer to taking care of Carol in such a way that you don't allow that unconsciousness. You just don't allow that because you want her to be present to life and enjoy every single moment of it, not be in a drugged stupor brought on probably by white flour and white sugar.
Oh, how did you ever guess?
I may have been there once or twice myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. I was thinking, oh, my God, I still have this butter in the fridge, and that means I can make more dessert. And then I thought, I'm just going to throw it in the trash. And then I thought, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it, and I'm going to put it in the trash at the same time holding tenderness for myself as I'm doing it.
Yes. Yeah, because this is just it's the image we use. You know, you've got a little 3-year-old. Carol there, and she has discovered dessert, and she just knows that that's God's will that she live on these things for the rest of her life. But as a grown up, you know that it's just not good for her, and so you're committed to taking care of her in a way that allows her to have the true joys of life, not the faux joy of being drugged by eating a bunch of stuff that's not good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you for being here every day.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to try to squeeze another caller in, Cherry. So.
Oh, okay. Good.
Here we
go.
All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ladima from Indiana.
Hello, Ladima.
Hey, Cherry. Hey, that's Winnie.
Hey.
So.
What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing, and this is a very big karmic pattern, I started to see that I was eating and spending money very unconsciously.
Mm.
And yes, and yesterday I made a recording that was basically a rant about how angry, quote, I was, that I can't just eat everything I want and not gain weight.
Uh-huh.
And
boy, aren't we all there? Yeah. Eat anything that I want and be fit and trim and healthy. What is wrong with that? Mm-hmm.
So it was funny how just to watch how conditioning sort of picked up steam in making that recording, and the angrier I got, the angrier I got. And mm-hmm. And I finally just said, I think this might be conditioning mind. That it just sort of dropped in. It's like, this might not be me at all.
The ego.
It might be conditioning mind talking and wanting to keep the conversation going. And boy, I didn't want to keep that going. And I just said, no, yeah. I'm not going to make any more recordings about that. And and so today I'm going to keep track of everything I eat, and I'm going to be very conscious about what I eat. And I'm hoping, and tomorrow I will see a difference in the scales. And so, yes, that's what happened.
Well, and Ladima, a little page out of Carol's book, right? So
yeah.
There's a little girl there, and God knows she wants to eat that stuff because it tastes really good, and because she doesn't know anything about health or nutrition or taking care of ourselves or, what it's going to do to her. She doesn't care about in the future, right? She just wants that stuff now. And so there you are, the compassionate being, the wisdom, love, and compassion that's going to mentor her. So to help her with good choices. So, of course, you want that. And no, ice cream for breakfast is not, we don't do that. But we could have, and in that relationship, and I'm hoping you'll, if you try this, you'll let me know, but it takes care of all of you. Because you, grown up, Ladima, get to be the conscious, compassionate awareness, the mentor. You get to move into that role for somebody who needs assistance, this little girl. And so instead of putting Ladima on a diet, which, you can just see ego rubbing its imaginary little hands together over that one, but you're now the Buddha assisting this little human incarnation, and it's that relationship is what is so fulfilling.
Okay.
With me on that one?
The relationship. I think that one's going to have to percolate a little bit, but I can't, at the intellectual level, yes, it makes sense, but I think.
Yes. Yes, because what you want is unconditional love and acceptance. You want to feel loved and unconditionally and fulfilled and joyful and grateful. That's what you want, not cake.
Right. And I don't have to lose another pound in order to have that.
That's right. Losing the pounds will be a result.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you will. You will lose them simply because you are so fulfilled in that relationship of unconditional love The ego can't talk you into trying to fill a hole, an emptiness inside, with food.
Right.
That's what makes the difference. And it's taking care of somebody else that enables us to stay in that place. We will do for the love of others what we would not be willing to do for ourselves. So there's a little kid, and you're going to give that little girl the unconditional love that she did not get and has been waiting for and longing for, and you're going to provide it for her, and in that, both of you will be fulfilled. And food will take its proper place in your life, along with going and doing and having fun and adventures and all of the aspects of life. And after a great big adventure, the two of you might get an ice cream cone.
Right, right.
Very, very different orientation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Now you're gonna let me know how you girls do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
okay.
I will.
All right. Keep us posted.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ladima.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, Ladima. You know, Sherry, I do want to take a moment, even though we are at 9:30, to just reflect that process, because it's so laid out on a content level, the structure of practice, that there is a desire, an unfulfilled desire that we all have, that ego assists us to sublimate with things like dessert. But the real longing is for that lack of separation, for that unconditional love. And
yes.
Spiritual practice doesn't say, let's put Ladima on a diet. It says, let's find that little person and provide all the unconditional love that she's really looking for. And in that way, train ourselves to experience the fulfillment that comes from having unconditional love and acceptance rather than hanker after that full fulfillment of the dessert. And it takes such practice, such patience to be able to switch the sense of fulfillment that we have because we're so used to feeling full in a particular way that we have to learn how to feel full in a very different way. And it takes a tremendous amount of training. And so that unconditional love relationship is the training to feel satisfied, that therefore the groove to fill the starvation in the other way isn't priority or fed.
Yeah, that is really helpful. It's like we're trained to look for fulfilled through the stomach, because we were talking about this, I don't know, somewhere yesterday, about the sensations in the body and how conditioned mind uses those to control us. And that when we eat, those sensations are anesthetized. So those messages of lack and loss and deprivation and they're obliterated for a little while, and we feel better. And then, of course, we get the beating for having eaten enough to anesthetize ourselves. So what you're pointing at is that the fulfillment is not going to come, the satisfaction is not going to come from the stomach. It's the heart.
Yeah.
Right? The heart is where we're feeling the real lack, and that's where we'll find the fulfillment through unconditional love.
Yes. And we have to train to recognize and experience those sensations as fulfillment, because we're so bamboozled into believing that the satiation is the experience we have after eating the dessert.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of everything, isn't it? Right there in what we've talked about this morning. That's the whole of practice. Because some people, it's food. For others, it's sex. It's drugs. It's it can be athletics. It can be anything that ego pushes us to instead of finding true fulfillment through unconditional love.
Yeah. I've never actually seen that piece of the reprogramming. And instead of the starvation or deprivation process, to feed the unconditional love process
as a way yeah. of getting off the addiction.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. And here's our assignment for the day. Just remain in the center watching, then forget that you are there. Each word of that quote is powerful. Just, only, nothing else, nothing more required. Simply this. Remain. Stay, persist, continue. Center, core, hub, heart. Watching, observing, scrutinizing, attending to. There's a how-to recipe for awareness practice, yes? And what comes next? Forget that you are here. Be so here that there's no possibility of a you outside of here to be there. Today, give yourself some time and space to lose yourself in attention on awareness. God, and listen. What a brilliant assignment. I just
all that
love how
too.
Clever you are.
What
here.
A guy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ashwini. All right. And thank you, everybody, huh?
Yes, thanks, everyone, and see you tomorrow. Talk to you
all
tomorrow.
Right. Pardon
take
me?
Take care, everybody. I said take care, everyone. Paddle happy.
Paddle happy and treasure yourself.
Yes.
All right. Till then.
All right. Till then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.